In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's Gospel, we hear our Savior tell us that we must be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And this is, of course, from the Sermon on the Mount. To be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, the demand which Christ gives us, or this command that he makes and that he gives to us, is given in the context of God's mercy, considering the infinite riches of God's mercy, how he makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and causes his rain to fall down upon the bad and the good. Indeed, we hear in the first reading, we hear of how God was merciful even to Ahab, who was the most wicked of all the kings of ancient Israel. And Ahab and Jezebel, the most wicked of all the characters in the Old Testament, so cruel, horrible idolaters, had killed many of God's prophets, nearly destroyed true worship in Israel. And yet, after this very fierce condemnation given through the prophet Elijah, after this very fierce condemnation in which it becomes clear that Ahab's line will be cut short, and indeed it was cut off. But even after that very strong condemnation, when Ahab, the most wicked of all, when he asks for mercy, when he shows a sign of repentance, even for one as wicked as him, God is merciful. So if he's merciful even with Ahab and Jezebel, since he does not cause the destruction to come during his own lifetime, but saves it for later generations, so when he shows this act of mercy and kindness, even to one as wicked as Ahab and his wife Jezebel, then it gives us two things, two points we take from that. First of all, we should feel confident, right? We should have a great confidence in God's mercy. For indeed, the fact that God would so quickly be merciful to Ahab, after all those sins, after all that time of sinning, one act of repentance, and God shows mercy to him, that should then make us feel very confident that God will show us great mercy indeed. I mean, after all, God had you baptized. God had you confirmed. God gave you Holy Communion and all the sacraments, right? Confession and all the others too, right? So if God gave you all those sacraments, which he did not give to Ahab, if God gave you all those sacraments, how much more will God be merciful to you when you call out to him in repentance? But if he could forgive Ahab in the time of the old dispensation, before the church was revealed to the world, and before the sacraments were given, if he could be merciful to Ahab, how much more will he be merciful to you and to me if only we turn to him in a true spirit of repentance? So in that regard, we're greatly encouraged. And then secondly, we have what we take from the gospel, which is that if God can forgive Ahab, then we can forgive one another. If God can be merciful even to Jezebel, then we can be merciful to one another. I made a little joke last week to the kids in the Bible camp, just pointing out that no one is ever going to name their daughter Jezebel after that character from the Old Testament, right? She ruined the name. Like, we'll never have a pretty little girl named Jezebel again. It's over, right? We just don't even want to remember. At least I don't think. It would be very cruel. It would be very uncouth. So no one's going to name their daughter Jezebel because she ruined the name. And yet God was merciful even to her. So then we should be merciful to one another. Right? We should be merciful to one another. God is so good and so merciful to us and to others. And so if we love God, then we have to love the people he loves, which is, of course, everyone. And so then we should be very quick to forgive if anyone asks us for pardon. And in fact, imitating the good Lord, we should be looking for them, looking for them to ask for pardon, right? Like not going about our own way, but just like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the father was looking and waiting for the son to come back. He wasn't like, oh, just forget him until he asks for pardon. Not at all. He was looking and waiting. And in fact, God goes even further and sends down actual grace to bring the sinner to repentance. So that just shows how much we should be striving for the conversion of others and striving to forgive them. Right? Very anxious and or very quick to forgive, looking to forgive them, looking forward to forgive them. And then just this little line. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Now there's actually perhaps just a little word. There's a spiritual interpretation of that line. The sun rises on the bad and the good, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It seems to me that we could see in those words, first of all, the literal meaning, or the strict literal meaning, would be, or the simplest, most straightforward literal meaning, is that God provides for all people. He's good to all people, and so we should be good to all people. So that's the simple meaning, right? He provides for us, he gives us life, and if he's giving someone life, then we ought to love them too. If he loves someone enough to give them life, then we should love them too. Even if we're very upset with them for some reason, we should be ready to forgive, because God, after all, is keeping them in existence. But there's another interpretation that we might give, yet another step. The sun that rises on the bad and the good could indeed be God the Son. Right? He makes his sun rise on the bad and the good. Right? And the sun rose high on the cross for the bad and the good. Right? He was raised up high on the cross for the bad and the good alike. He died just as much for the wicked thief as he did for good St. Dismas, the good thief. Right? So he died just as much for each and every person. And he would do it again and 1,000 times for one. For one. He'd do it again and 1,000 times for one. So he makes his sun to rise on the bad and the good. That is, he gave Jesus to die for the bad and the good, for all people, so that many will be saved. And he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Well, obviously, then, we're in this interpretation where we'd say the Holy Spirit is sent down for all peoples. Right? The Holy Spirit moves in the earth for all peoples. And through the Holy Spirit, the church is established, which is a sign for all peoples. Right? The just and the unjust. Right? The church is a sign of salvation, not just for the just. I mean, that wouldn't go very far, would it? But for the unjust. So by the working of the Holy Spirit, the church then is the sign of salvation, the sacrament of salvation for all people, the just and the unjust. And the Holy Spirit is sent down upon all people and for the good of all people, the just and the unjust. And so when we think of someone, when we think of someone with whom we're tempted to be angry or upset, we think of them, we should remember, God, the Heavenly Father, gave his Son up to death for their salvation. And the Father and the Son together sent the Holy Spirit into the world for their sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.